On this week's edition of New York Now, Governor Cuomo says he wants $15 billion from the federal government, or he's going to sue.
New York's future is bright.
That's from his state budget address this week. John Campbell from the USA Today Network and Keisha Klucke from Bloomberg Law join me with details. Then, Republican State Senator Mike Martucci shares his perspective on how the state should be helping small businesses. And State Senator Jabari Brisport says Cuomo's wrong about taxing the rich in New York. We'll explain. I'm Dan Clark, and this is New York Now.
Today, the Senate majority will pass
a law prohibiting it, and we will take them to court challenging it.
Welcome to this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark. We now know Governor Cuomo's plan to fix the state's economy, which has taken a beating during the COVID-19 pandemic. Cuomo released his proposal for the state budget this week, coming in at a price tag of $193 billion. That plan includes a strategy for filling the state's massive budget gap, and then some. And he said it's all going to depend on how much money New York gets from the federal government, which we might not know for a few months. In the meantime, he's presenting two scenarios for the future of New York's finances, one that's good and one that's not so good. Take a look.
It was a tale of two states, a New York in peril and a New York made whole. That was Governor Cuomo's message this week when he unveiled his plan to fill a projected $15 billion budget deficit over 2 years.
So we're asking for fairness. Fairness from Washington.
Cuomo laid out two very different strategies for curing the state's finances, both of which depend on billions of dollars in aid from the federal government. He blamed former President Donald Trump for the COVID-19 pandemic and said it's only fair the federal government foots the bill.
What happened on COVID last spring was a result of federal negligence. What happened to New York was no fault of New Yorkers.
The best case scenario, Cuomo said, would be for the federal government to send the full $15 billion to New York. That would fill the state's budget gap and allow the state to avoid billions of dollars in spending cuts and tax hikes. That money could also be used to provide tax credits for restaurants and small businesses, which have been hit especially hard by the state's COVID-19 shutdowns.
Restaurants paid a really high price for what happened during COVID. Many businesses were hurt.
It's not unlikely that New York would receive the full $15 billion it's asking for. President Joe Biden is proposing a new stimulus package that would provide billions in aid for state and local governments. But if they don't come through with the full $15 billion, Cuomo says, New York will sue the Biden administration in pursuit of those funds.
The new government didn't cause the damage, but they are legally, ethically, and politically responsible for correcting it.
It would be the first time Cuomo goes toe-to-toe with President Biden, a close ally. And he says he's willing to do it because the alternative would be financial chaos for New York.
If the federal government doesn't fund state and local governments, it's going to hurt all New Yorkers.
That's Cuomo's second plan for closing the state's budget gap. In that scenario, he's banking on at least $6 billion in federal aid. That would leave a $9 billion gap that Cuomo says would be closed through tax hikes on the rich, a delay in tax cuts for the middle class, and massive spending cuts.
You'd then have to cut dramatically.
And Cuomo, again, said he'd prefer to not raise taxes on the rich in New York, saying that wouldn't raise enough money to avoid cuts in spending. Leaders from the state legislature took a different position, saying Democrats should be ready and willing to raise revenue from the state's wealthiest residents. In a statement, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said the state, quote, must be ready to act as a state to advance efforts to raise revenues, including having the hyper-wealthy share this burden. Republicans in the state legislature feel differently. They want Cuomo and Democrats who control the state legislature to take another look at spending to see if there's anywhere the state could reduce costs without raising taxes. Senator Tom O'Meara is the top-ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee.
New York continues to spend too much and tax too much.
Cuomo also wants Congress to repeal a cap installed during the Trump era on the deductibility of state and local taxes. For New Yorkers that itemize, that would put more money in their pocket, he said.
That increases our taxes every year. If it's dropped, our taxes will go down every year.
and he's also seeking to legalize both adult-use marijuana and mobile sports betting this year, saying the two industries could generate more than $800 million for the state annually. Democrats in the legislature will now come up with their own spending plan and hash it out with Cuomo behind closed doors. The state budget is due at the end of March.
So you can imagine it's going to be a very interesting next few months. With me in studio to discuss are John Campbell from the USA Today Network and Keisha Cookie from Bloomberg. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So John, I want to start with you. This is a budget plan. We have two budget plans, a $6 billion if we get it from the federal government, a $15 billion if we get it from the federal government. What have we heard from reaction from lawmakers first is what I want to get from you.
You know, the number one reaction we've heard from lawmakers so far is they want the Democratic lawmakers, I should say, they want a higher tax on the wealthy regardless of how much money comes from the federal government. Whereas the governor's plan, which, you know, he painted it as two different plans, really it's one plan with some asterisks, really. It says if we get more money from the federal government, you know, we won't have to increase taxes on the wealthy, we won't have to do this, we won't have to do that. But the Democratic lawmakers are really making clear that they want to use this opportunity to increase taxes on the wealthy. Some are not pleased with the governor's plan as it is, which would increase taxes on people making over $100 million by 2 percentage points. People making more than $5 million, the income would be taxed about half a percentage point more. It's a sliding scale. So you're seeing some reaction from lawmakers that they want to do the millionaire's tax regardless of whether how much money comes from the federal government.
And I should say later in the show, we'll be talking to State Senator Jabari Brisport about this proposal. They have a whole package of bills, a whole smorgasbord of, you know, billions of dollars of revenue raisers. So stay tuned for that. Keisha, I want to go to you next. So what surprised me about this budget plan is the governor has these two plans. Both of them rely on aid from the federal government. But what we're not hearing is a situation where we don't get any money from the federal government by the time the budget is due, which is the end of March.
Mm-hmm. I think that the governor, throughout the coronavirus pandemic and throughout the fall, people kept saying, we have a deficit this year. I mean, the current fiscal year, let alone next year's budget, we still have a deficit. How are you going to fill it? And continuously, he's waiting on the federal government. So he's kind of, I mean, I don't know what happens if we don't get anything. They kind of seem to think that we're going to get some sort of aid, and it just is a matter of how much and whether or not it's going to be just a really tough budget. It's he has a proposal to pause middle class income tax reductions this year, which is something that lawmakers would want to do because it makes them look good in their districts to have tax cuts. Major cuts to education, healthcare, and this is a time of crisis, and so making cuts would only make it worse. So I think he's just really betting on Biden.
Right.
There's a caveat built into the budget that says if the state doesn't get $3 billion from the feds by August, then the budget director, the Cuomo's budget director, can withhold certain payments to local governments. Not school aid. School aid is an exception to that. But that suggests to me that they are anticipating that maybe they'll pass this budget with these unknowns still, just like they did last year, and give the opportunity to the budget director to withhold funding if they don't get that federal money.
Which I gotta say, I wouldn't be surprised if they did get $15 billion from the federal government, if they still put something in the budget that said, by the way, if this $15 billion doesn't quite work out, we're still going to give power to the budget director to make cuts as he or she sees fit at the time.
Well, and that's always a struggle between the legislature and the governor. How much is the legislature willing to give up in terms of power and authority? And how much does the governor want? I mean, the governor always wants all of it, quite frankly.
Right.
So that's going to be something that's going to be hashed out over the next few months of negotiations.
And we should mention, so Keisha or John, whichever one of you wants to answer this, things look a little better than they projected them to be in the spring, right?
Yeah, originally I think it was a $14.9 billion deficit just for the current fiscal year, $16 billion for the next fiscal year, which starts April 1st. And it's kind of interesting because some of the fiscally conservative lobby groups and political analysts have been saying all along that Cuomo's kind of crying wolf, like making it look worse than it actually is, and not taking into consideration certain revenues that are going to come in, federal aid that could close that gap. Well, the budget comes out, the budget proposal comes out, and oh, guess what? We only have $4.7 billion for the current fiscal year, and then another 10, so it works out to about $15 billion total. So that $15 billion budget gap is for both years, and it's presumed that we can fill this year already with a mixture of cuts that the administration has already made, for freezes on pay hikes, and federal aid.
And if we don't get the $15 billion, as we mentioned before this segment, the state is going to sue the Biden administration. I think this is a really interesting situation for the state to be in, John, because President Biden is a very close ally of the governor's. There were points where we thought that the governor was going to go to his administration and be part of the cabinet. What does that look like politically? Do you think the governor would actually move forward with that?
I mean, it's, you know, it's easy to threaten to sue somebody, you know,
right.
and you can file any lawsuit you want, but whether that lawsuit has actual legal bearing is another question. We've seen a similar kind of lawsuit the state filed against the federal government when Donald Trump was in charge, about the state and local tax deductions that were rescinded, essentially, or capped during the 2017 federal tax reform. So, and they made an equal protection claim, basically saying that it's not protecting states equally under the law. I don't know exactly what the legal rationale would be. I mean, as of right now, it's just a little tidbit that the governor threw out that garnered some headlines, but there's not any meat to it. So who knows what that would be?
Right. They lost the SALT lawsuit because the judge said at the time that even though this did hurt people in New York, it was still the purview of the federal government to do this. They had every right to do it. It was not illegal.
And why would it be any different now?
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving forward, before we run out of time, Keisha, we have a new president this week, President Biden, as I said, close ally of Andrew Cuomo. How is this going to change the relationship between New York and the federal government? I have to assume things will get better between the Cuomo administration and who's in the White House.
Yeah, I think Cuomo has continuously said that the Trump administration had, I think it was, used New York State as a political pinata. And there were multiple things. I mean, everything from immigration issues to taxes, as John had said, was kind of against New York State and against blue states in general. So having, pardon me, having a Democratic president will theoretically be a boon to the blue states. But also we have Chuck Schumer as the majority leader in the Senate, and that also could be big money for New York State, because typically they try to funnel that money to their home state, just a little extra on the side.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That'll be really interesting to watch in the next few weeks. John Campbell from the USA Today Network and Keisha Kuki from Bloomberg, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Almost half of small businesses in the U.S. say they'll have to close this year if the economy doesn't get better. That's according to a survey released last month by the National Federation of Independent Business. And lawmakers are hoping that won't be the case here in New York. That includes State Senator Mike Martucci, the top-ranking Republican on the Senate Commerce Committee. We spoke this week. Senator Martucci, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Anytime. So you've been named the top-ranking Republican on the Commerce Committee, which deals with commerce, economic development, and small businesses. Small business is obviously a top priority of the Republican conference in the state Senate. Tell me from your perspective what the state could be doing right now to help small businesses at such a tough time.
Well, first, our state needs to be focused on ways to make sure that the tremendous burden that's been placed on the unemployment insurance system doesn't translate to our small businesses. So many of our businesses were closed by order of the state, and understandably so, to help folks with protect folks from the pandemic. But today, there's conversations about translating those unemployment costs back to our small businesses. We also have to be looking at very practical things that provide immediate relief, a restaurant industry that's absolutely on its knees. So many of our commercial tenants who need help paying their commercial rents, and on and on. But I would tell you that one of the things that I'm focused on is making sure that we provide immediate relief to our businesses, because we don't have time to help. You know, once a business closes, it's nearly impossible for a business to reopen.
Just zooming out, the committee that you're on also deals with economic development in general. That's been a huge thing for the Cuomo administration over the last decade, trying to boost these different regions of the state through these economic development initiatives. While you're on the committee, what kind of initiatives would you like to see the state take? Do you think the Cuomo administration is doing good in the strategy that they've chosen?
So I laud the governor and his administration for their focus on economic development in this state. I certainly think there are some questions that have to be answered if we're really getting our bang for our buck with respect to all these economic development dollars. Just myself, I prefer a method that involves translating those resources down to local IDAs and local LDCs, because I feel like every community in New York is very different, and each community understands the best way right now to provide support and, quite frankly, help save its Main Street businesses. And I think as I look at what's going on right now, I want to make sure that moving forward, we're treating small business in the state of New York with the same respect that we're treating our large businesses. And while I think we've got a good track record of creating incentive for some of our big businesses, right now it's time for us to save Main Street, Dan, because if we don't do it now, we won't recognize a Main Street anywhere in New York when this pandemic's over.
You know, speaking of big businesses versus small businesses, Democrats are considering some tax hikes on the wealthy in New York. We don't really know what that's going to look like. And I'm curious, from your perspective, how do you feel about that proposal? Is that something that you could get on board with, or are you against that?
Well, what I prefer to look at first is the waste that exists in our current state budget and our current state spending plans. Before I ask any New Yorker to pay more to be here, before I ask anyone who's trying to run a business here to contribute more, I think it's time that we take a hard look at the budget, full review of the budget process from top to bottom. And, to be honest, I hear there's all these conversations about hard decisions have to be made in the budget. But when you look at some of the absolute giveaways that exist in the budget, like, for example, $500 million Hollywood film tax credit, what's clear to me is that there are some very easy decisions that have to be made, doing things like removing tax credits like that.
So I think the state's economy is something that we could talk about all day, and it deserves to be talked about all day. But I want to ask you about your position. So you're one of two Republicans that were able to flip a seat from a Democrat in last year's elections. Aside from this committee that you're on, the Commerce Committee, what other type of priorities do you have?
So besides commerce, which is a place that in protecting our small businesses, which I believe is really important, more important now than ever, I'm focused on taking a look at a couple of other important things, too. You know, first, certainly property tax relief is a huge issue here in the state of New York, and particularly for our seniors. So here, just in my first week of office, my team has drafted a bill that would help our seniors who earn less than $100,000 a year be able to afford to live in their homes. Other things that I talked about in the campaign, which are really center point to issues going on in our state right now, is public safety and public health. I was outspoken against the bail reform changes from the very early phase, which I believe put so many of our residents and our communities at great risk. We heard from a law enforcement and our district attorneys around the state and so many others. So certainly public safety is right up on that list. And third and finally, I would say, is helping protect our farms. The district that I represent is a very rural district, and we have a number of farms, family farms. And recent changes in the law, specifically the Farm Labor Bill, have made it so difficult for our farms to continue to operate. That, again, has only been magnified by the pandemic. So I'm focused on ways that we can help our farmers here in New York.
And speaking of helping farmers, there's another big issue on the table this year, the legalization of marijuana. Obviously, the recreational side doesn't really affect farmers all that much, but there's also the opportunity for the expansion of the hemp industry. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, because I think that people are divided on this issue, do you think that the state should legalize marijuana? And do you think that expanding hemp requires that legalization?
So, Dan, I'm not completely against the legalization of adult use marijuana. You know, what I am interested in doing, though, is making sure that we as a legislative body deliberate it in the right way and bring the stakeholders in the room who this is going to affect. I think when you look at the way that policies are typically advanced in this state, big public policy, I use bail reform as a key example, you'll see that was a set of public policy changes that were made that didn't involve the stakeholders and it wasn't done right. So what I look forward to doing is being part of the conversation and making sure, you know, the governor certainly has outlined that legalizing adult use recreational marijuana is going to be a priority for this year. I want to make sure as a legislature, we play our role in terms of bringing in the stakeholders and making sure we get the details right. There'll be a good way to do this and there'll be a bad way to do this. And what I want to make sure we do because we don't do this in typical Albany fashion, you know, which means making decisions in the dark of the night with no public deliberation and excluding the folks, the interest groups that need to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, hope springs eternal that things will change up here in Albany, but we will see. State Senator Mike Martucci, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
So as we mentioned, Democrats are considering new tax hikes on the rich in New York to help fill the state's budget gap this year. Governor Cuomo has pushed back on the idea, saying it wouldn't raise enough money and could drive wealthy people to other states. But some Democrats say he's wrong, and they have a package of bills they want to pass immediately. State Senator Jabari Brisport joined me this week to explain. Senator Brisport, thanks so much for being here.
Of course, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So the governor is pretty hard set against raising taxes on the wealthy this year to help fill the state's budget deficit. He says that raising those taxes would only generate about $1.5 billion of the state's $15 billion budget gap. You say he's wrong. Tell me why.
Well, Dan, I don't just say he's wrong. I say he lied in saying that, you know, in the Invest in Our New York campaign, our personal income tax proposal raises $12 to $18 billion. By more aggressively targeting the highest incomes in New York. And the entire package seeks to increase revenue by $50 billion plus. So there's a lot more money in the hands of the rich, and we can fund our future in New York State.
So are we just talking about raising income tax rates on the high income earners in New York State? Or I think it's a whole package that you have. So what else are we looking at?
It's a huge package. So an additional personal income tax, there is also a capital gains tax on our earned income through investments. There is corporate taxes, such as really restoring the corporate tax rates to where they were before Trump lowered them, and also taxing financial transactions like stocks and bonds and derivatives, a wealth tax, a constitutional amendment to enact one, and also one that I'll be pushing for with Senator Sanders, which is an heirs tax, a tax on large inheritances.
And I know there are some questions about the wealth tax, for example, about the constitutionality of that. Have you examined those questions? I know it's kind of preliminary. These are sort of new proposals.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's a constitutional amendment. But I think it's worth saying that many New Yorkers already pay some form of a wealth tax in terms of their property tax. The difference being that for everyday New Yorkers, the bulk of their wealth, is in their home. But for the wealthiest people, only a fraction of their wealth is in their estate.
So if the state does get money from the federal government, if we get enough to close the budget gap, do you think the state should still move forward with these revenue actions, like raising tax rates on the wealthy, going after Wall Street, et cetera?
I think we should absolutely move forward with these taxes, regardless of what the federal government does, because it's what we need. New York was hurting before coronavirus hit us, and we still have billions in need for education, for our public housing, for transportation, for energy investment, to undo the Medicaid cuts that Governor Cuomo snuck into the budget last spring. So we definitely need all the funding there that we can get.
So these aren't new ideas. A lot of these ideas have been floating around the legislature for at least a couple of years. I'm thinking specifically of raising taxes on the wealthy. We did this several times throughout the state's history after 9/11, during the recession, the most recent recession 10 years ago. Why do you think that Democrats in the legislature haven't pulled the trigger on this? You're a first term member.
I like that you said that a lot of these aren't new, because there is historical precedent for a lot of these, and even some of them, Dan, like the stock transfer, the financial transaction tax has a basis in, you know, we had a stock transfer tax for decades. I think we have a moment that we need to strike while the iron is hot right now, when having a Democratic supermajority in both the House, in both the Assembly and the State Senate. And, you know, we have leadership in the legislature that is much more amenable to raising taxes on the wealthy than Governor Cuomo. And I'm excited to push forward and win this for all New Yorkers.
You know, the governor and Republicans in the legislature have brought up an argument that if we raise costs for the wealthy in New York State, they will move out of the state to another state that may have lower tax rates or a lower cost of living. What do you say to that? How do you respond to those complaints? I know that 10 years ago when we raised taxes, that did happen at a minor level.
Yeah, I like that we bring up the tax increases during the last fiscal crisis in 2009, because we actually have, I think, doubled the number of millionaires now in New York State than we did the first time we raised taxes in 2009. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the wealthiest people in the state are the least likely to leave. You know, they are here in New York for the rich social safety net, for the incredible opportunities, and oftentimes because the businesses they own are here too. What we should be worried about is not really ensuring we have an adequate social safety net and more working class New Yorkers having to leave New York because they can't afford to live here.
Republicans in the legislature have said that instead of doing these revenue raising opportunities, that Democrats should be looking at cuts in spending, looking closer at bigger parts of the budget like education and healthcare, and trying to weed out where they can save a few bucks, I guess. I know that you may not agree with all of Governor Cuomo's budgeting ideas. Are there any areas where you think Democrats should take a closer look?
You know, I think first and foremost, we should just look at the inequality that is in our state right now before we start saying what we're going to make cuts to, especially as a former public school teacher. I know that education is already at the bare bones. We desperately need more funding for just counselors and textbooks and basic things in our schools. And I wouldn't want to look at more cuts in that area, especially. So we have deep inequity here. We have 118 billionaires that made over $77 billion since the onset of the pandemic, which is honestly even more money than we're trying to raise from this Invest in Our New York campaign. And that's where I would look first.
All right. It'll be really interesting to see what happens over the next couple of months as the governor and the legislature continue negotiating the state budget. State Senator Jabari Brisport, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Dan.
There are still a lot of questions about Cuomo's state budget, and we'll dig into a few of them next week. We'll speak with a panel of environmental advocates about the state's goals and hear from the State School Boards Association. But until then, thanks for watching this week's New York Now. Have a great week and be well.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET.
And by the Dominic Ferrioli Foundation.